listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Well, you heard the man. It's that time of week again, and you know what it is. It's game time. Welcome to the party, pal. And welcome back to another award-winning edition of Straight Out of Vegas, the weekend version. I'm Bernie Fratto. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. So go to geico.com for a free rate quote. Tonight, we talk a lot of baseball. Schedules are out, prognostications are starting to emerge, and theories on who might flourish during the 60-game sprint, well, they're more prevalent now. And yes, we're just 12 days away from, quote, opening day. I say that in quotes. And we've got a nationally televised doubleheader to kick things off Thursday the 23rd, Nationals-Yankees and Dodgers-Giants. And in about 15 minutes, we'll be joined by a great guest, Las Vegas' own Dave Koken, a legend. He'll unpack the nuances of how Major League Baseball games will be managed, the season given the various changes, and how you can find betting edges. Later in the show, I'm going to catch you up on the latest calendar schedules for the other sports, plus a quick look at the incredible growth that continues as far as nationwide legalized sports betting. And right after Brian Finley's epic update at the bottom of the hour, I'm going to offer a brief commentary on what I think the new Washington Redskins team name should be. You don't want to miss this backstory. It's awe-inspiring and a big part of our country's history. Sports are entertainment, but they're more than that. They're a shared experience, so people want to talk about them. You've come to the right place. We've got a lot to talk about tonight. This is Straight Out of Vegas, the pregame show you always wanted. As they say in Burt Blyleven, Minnesota, it's going to be lit. All right, before I dive into the baseball and the schedules and some things I want to, you know, spoiler alert, I'm going to predict the Dodgers are going to win it, courtesy of my good man Brian Bershinger. I want to talk about a story that emerged here in Las Vegas because it's important. You know, there's certain ethics when it comes to betting, and don't be that guy. I'm going to put this under the category of don't be that guy. Let me get through this quickly before I get to baseball, but it's worth hearing. Let me give you a quick preamble. Years ago, I was sitting at the M Resort, and it was a regular Tuesday night game between the San Antonio Spurs and the Sacramento Kings, and halftime rolled around, and they put up a halftime bet and a halftime total bet. And about 10 minutes into the third quarter, a couple of jabronis sitting behind me noticed that the bet hadn't been taken off the board. So they rushed up to the window and bet the limit on the under, because the game was flying under, and they felt it was an easy victory. Well, the sportsbook director noticed it a few minutes later, called them up to the window and asked for their IDs, and they're promptly banned from the casino for trying to do, you know, a pass bet when the game was still on the board. Ironically, the game ended up going overtime and they lost the bet. And so that's the moral of the story. Don't be that guy. Karma kind of kicked in there. Well, that sets me up for the story you may have heard about last week in Las Vegas, and this has to do with baseball, Korean and Chinese baseball. You may or may not know this, but MGM Resorts allowed nearly $250,000 in winning wagers to be placed last weekend over the games, well after games had already started. Total of 50 bets. Now, how did this happen? Look, this is a business still run by human beings. And all the rotation numbers and the games and the lines and the start times, they've all got to be manually loaded. And the bets were allowed to be placed because incorrect start times were posted on some of the Chinese and Korean games due to a manual entry error. Now, nearly all the bets, about 50 in all, well, they were placed in self-serve kiosks at the Bellagio between 1:30 and 3 a.m. So the sportsbook was closed. The counters were closed. Those were the games in question. Now, among the bets was a $250 10-leg parlay that paid $138,000. That parlay had 8 legs on Korean games and 2 on Chinese. And I will tell you, this situation kind of has bettors and bookmakers debating the ethics of what has sometimes been an adversarial relationship. Meanwhile, Nevada gaming officials, well, they've opened up an investigation. The Gaming Control Board research analyst, a gentleman by the name of Mike Lawton, he had an interview with the Las Vegas Review, try that again in English, the Las Vegas Review Journal, and he had no comment, but he did point out there's a regulation 22.115 which references rescinding wagers, meaning the book is probably going to have to pay these guys. The only way they can get out of it, they can't get out of it unilaterally. They have to have the written approval of the chairman of the board. That means MGM must gain board approval before they can cancel these bets. So it's not a good situation, all right? And, you know, this obviously has gotten the attention of other sports books, and many of them have spoken out on it anonymously, and they believe these bettors should be prosecuted because it's like going to the casino cage and sticking a gun in their face. Well, I don't know if it's quite like that, but it is kind of like theft. So the long and the short of it is, even though the sportsbook has to take some blame if they didn't staff it properly or it wasn't monitored properly, don't be that guy. Don't do that. Come to Vegas, have fun, play the game straight, don't cheat, all right? I'm not trying to be on my soapbox here, but maybe I am being on my soapbox. All right, let's get to baseball because the schedules came out this last week and there's a lot to talk about. You know, in a regular season, there's a beautiful symmetry to a full Major League season, 162 games in 185 days. You got a marathon, and the baseball gods, well, they've got a way of testing you. Fatigue, injuries, a dead arm, fouling a ball off your shin, a slump, the nicks and aches and pains of the pulled muscles, the tight hamstrings. The first half of the season, you're fresh. The second half, well, there's a reason they call it the dog days. Sparky Anderson always said 162 games. Well, it was the great evening out process. The cream would always rise, and no one was going to hand it to you. You had to take it. Sparky also used to say that at 40 games, that's a great benchmark. You know what you got, and you don't want to dig yourself a hole because you're already a quarter of the way into the season. Well, this year, a quarter of the way into the season is 15 games, 2 weeks. So best on the length of the season and rule changes and fast starts, all these things are important. How you bet on these games is going to change, and they're going to be managed differently. We're going to talk about that with Dave Koken here in about 10 minutes, but let's dive into the schedule because, all right, how cool is this? Don't tell me you're not looking forward to it. July 23rd, a week from Thursday, the first Major League Baseball regular season game in 267 days. So here's how it's going to shake out. Each team will play 40 divisional games and 20 interleague games versus your natural interleague rival. For instance, if you're in the AL West, you'll play the NL West. You get the picture. Each team has a total of 6 days off. That's it, after opening weekend. Now, here's some notable observations. If you're in the NL East, AL East, you drew the short straw. There are more tough teams in that division than any of the other ones. And I think the Central, I think Dave will agree with me, is probably the easiest. By the way, a week from Thursday, Max Scherzer and Garrett Cole, bam, right out of the gate. Gotta love it. The next day, July 24th, the Texas Rangers, they debut at Globe Field. That's their brand new stadium there in Arlington versus the Colorado Rockies. You get to see a new stadium. And on Sunday, July 26th, Shohei Ohtani, that's his scheduled start on the mound. They play the Oakland A's. And it'll be the first time Shohei Ohtani has taken the mound since September 2nd, 2018. Think how much history's taken place since then. By the way, August 21st, Mad Bum, he returns to San Francisco. This one I'm looking forward to. September 12th and 13th, the Dodgers host the Houston Astros. Oh, snap. Come on now. Of course, there won't be any fans in the stands, but best of my knowledge. I don't know. By then, maybe there will. I don't know. I don't think there's going to be. But if there are, I think they should make a trash can lid giveaway night. I think it would be appropriate. Put the Astro logo on it. All right. You've got to start fast. This is a sprint. First 15 games, I will tell you, as I just said, that's 25% of the season. You don't want to dig yourself a hole. So which teams have the easiest strength of schedule? The Twins actually have the easiest strength of schedule based on the 2019 records of the cumulative opponents they'll play. Their schedule, their opponents have a 419 winning percentage. The Dodgers are right behind them. The Dodgers have an easy schedule as well. The Reds, Cubs, Cardinals, Royals, Phillies, A's, they all got schedules of teams where their cumulative winning percentage was either 460 or under. So there is a sense of urgency. You got to start fast. If you start out 5-10, you're digging yourself a hole. Toughest schedules? Mets, Pirates, Blue Jays. The teams they play, a cumulative 570. That's almost 600 baseball. That's tough duty. Travel, something you might want to think about. You never talk about. We talk about this kind of stuff in the NFL, right? The Texas Rangers have to travel the most distance, 14,706 miles. Meanwhile, the Brewers, only 3,900 miles. September, if you're going to beat the Yankees, you better get them early. Because in September, the Yankees have the easiest schedule. 16 of their 25 games are against teams under 500. They were under 500 last year. And the Padres have a nice, cozy schedule in September. They only leave the state of California twice. You have to go to Seattle both times. How's this for a rough start? The Braves, Tigers, and Mariners, they begin the season by playing 20 straight days to start the season before the first day off. One cool thing, and if you remember how the 2011 season finished, with all that wackiness, teams vying for the playoffs on the final day, what they've done on the final day of the season, September 27th, all games will start at 3 o'clock Eastern time or thereabouts within 5 minutes. Do you think there'll be playoff implications that day? I do, and it's going to be fun to watch. All right, I've got a whole ton of stuff in the next couple weeks we're going to break down in terms of predictions and who might do this and who might do that. But tonight I'm going to keep it short. I think the Dodgers are going to win the whole thing. Why? In addition to the easy schedule, which I just pointed out, adding a DH is a dream situation. They've already got a stacked offense, and they can maximize their pitching staff knowing they don't have to cap any of their young starters' innings. Plus, they've got a ton of depth and talent. Mookie Betts is going to thrive in L.A. Now, I would have thought David Price was in line for a bounce-back season. He has decided to opt out, but still, this Dodger team and their composition, whether it's a long season or a short season, when you're as talented and deep as the Dodgers, the link doesn't matter. Teams are already looking to shed salary, too. So what does that mean? Watch the Dodgers make a couple of good deals before the August 31st trade deadline, and they can use their farm system to poach relievers if their bullpen proves to be troublesome. Because I think one of the things that's going to, you know, I think the Rays are going to be good, and I think the Yankees are going to be good. Teams that have good bullpens are going to benefit. You've got to have deep pitching in this oddball situation. We're going to have a lot of fun breaking this down over the next couple weeks, and we're just getting started. As a matter of fact, coming up, we've got a great guest, a Radio Hall of Famer, Smokin' Dave Kochan, professional bettor, and his specialty is baseball. A lot of fun. You're really going to enjoy listening to him. What does it mean when Geico says just 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance? It means you probably should have gone to geico.com 15 minutes ago. I'm Bernie Fratto. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. This is the pregame show you always wanted, so don't go away. You're listening to Straight Outta Vegas.
Straight Outta Vegas!
The great Bernie Fratto, folks.
We are back on Straight Outta Vegas, the pregame show you always wanted. I'm Bernie Fratto, coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. Let's jump right to it. I want to welcome in this gentleman. He's a Las Vegas legend and a good friend. He's in the Nevada Radio Hall of Fame, backed by four decades of betting expertise. Follow him on Twitter, at Dave Kochan. Say hello to Smokin' Dave Kochan. Dave, we've got baseball.
Hopefully. It was an interesting choice of music, Bernie, because the one thing that's untrue in that song is that you won't be able to take me out to the ball game because fans aren't going to be able to go, and you won't be able to take me out to the crowd because there won't be any. But hopefully there will be baseball.
Well, those are all accurate points, Dave. You do dot your I's and cross your T's, but as they say in baseball, hope springs eternal, so we'll take it a step at a time. Dave, let's talk about, in kind of rapid fashion, your observations and how you're going to handicap this sprint of a season versus a marathon. And let's start by, because we've got such a short length, I'm sure you would agree you've got to get off to a fast start.
You know, certainly from the team's standpoint, yeah. I mean, the early games are going to be really important. The question is, I want to see how, from a betting standpoint, I'm probably not going to get off to any start at all because this is like something we've never seen before. And I'm going to have to see how these games are being played, what the managers are doing in terms of usage of their pitching staff and the rest of the roster, for that matter. Whether they're managing to win one game rather than playing for as they would over the course of a long season. These are all unknown factors right now, and I don't know that I'm going to risk a lot of money, at least for the first week or so.
You know, that's a very shrewd outlook, Dave. You've got to step back and observe. And let's take a look at what you just said in terms of how games are going to be managed given the multiple rule changes. What are the observations you make on how you might take a look at a game when you dive in?
I don't know yet. Do you play for extra innings with this new rule? Or do you try and win it in the ninth inning? I don't know. What I'm trying to assess is, which teams what I think is going to happen is that the organizations that are the strongest, I think, are probably going to be the best on the field. And that doesn't necessarily mean in terms of talent. It's more in terms of the way they run the organization. But there's so many unknowns. I'll give you an example. For the past couple of seasons, the Milwaukee Brewers, you know, they're contenders. They've been very careful in their usage of Josh Hader out of the bullpen. In 162 games, they don't pitch him on back-to-back. They basically never use him in back-to-back situations. In a 60-game schedule, I don't know that you have that luxury. So I've got a thought early on, are the Brewers going to change the way they use their bullpen and Hader specifically, or is it going to be just business as usual? And these are all unknown factors that are going to play a huge role, not only in the standings, but from a betting perspective.
Talking with Dave Kolkin here in Las Vegas. Dave, let's take a look at some individual teams. I have a feeling the Rays are going to be very good, partly because of their pitching depth and also their roster depth. They've got a great farm system. They can take advantage of that 60-man pool. What are your thoughts? Who grabs your eye in terms of teams to keep an eye on?
Yeah, that's one of the teams, because they do have some good prospects who I think they're going to use to some extent. I don't think anybody's going to just go with the same 25 guys every day. I think you're going to see a lot of players being utilized, including this taxi squad, at least by the teams that are doing it right. And they'll do so probably, I would say, for the first 30 to 40 games. After that, you'll have the contenders and those who are not in the mix identified, and you'll probably see the teams that are in contention going with the same lineup down the stretch. But that's down the road. So the Braves would be one of the teams. The Brewers are another. I mean, I think the Brewers are really well positioned because the makeup of their roster really fits some of these new rules. They'll benefit from the DH being in the National League. They've got what looks to be a pretty deep bullpen, which I think is going to play in because starting pitchers won't be going that long early on. And certainly, you know, a team like the Dodgers, they're so deep. This has got to be a plus for them.
Dave, let me ask you a question. I like your thought on the Braves, and they've got a rotation with Mike Soroka and Max Fried and Cole Hamels and a bunch of guys, but Felix Hernandez opted out. The question I want to ask you is, have you taken a look at the season win totals of these various teams, and do any of those grab your eye out of the gate?
No, I actually kind of dismissed it because I just don't know what – we still don't even know what the rosters are going to look like because we've got players opting out every day, and I'm waiting. Let's just say I'm apprehensive that a big name is going to – you know, we've had a few – semi-big names, but they're mostly older guys who maybe are past their prime, like Hernandez, Nick Markakis, guys like that. I'm waiting for a shoe to drop. Somebody big. Buster Posey, I guess, to this point, Buster Posey's probably the biggest name unless he's facing somebody. But if somebody major, and I guess, you know, the name that comes to mind is Trout.
Yes.
It doesn't sound like he's convinced he's going to play. If somebody really big drops out, that could be a domino, and we might not have a season after all. I'm being very, very cautious in putting any money out there without having more knowledge. I'm a conservative bettor anyway in terms of volume and things like that. I mean, it's money out of my pocket, and I don't like throwing money away. So I'm being even more cautious than usual here.
No, I think that's very smart. I think it's prudent, and I've had some of the same thoughts. And what's interesting is probably 50% of the people that listen to this show don't even bet, but they want to win arguments with their friends. And you bring up a lot. Listen, we both know there are a lot of unknowns, and although I do think Trout's threatening not to play, my gut tells me he will. He was one of the win and wear guys. But let's be honest about this. Yeah. So just for giggles. Let me start at the top. If you had a gun to your head, based on all the things that you would take into account, roster composition, starters, veterans, all that, who do you think wins it this year? I mean, acknowledging we don't know what's going to happen. This thing could get started. There could be a COVID outbreak. I don't know. But if we deal with the here and now and just look ahead and say, keep our fingers crossed, we're going to have a full season, who do you like to win the whole thing?
I'd have to go with the Dodgers.
Yeah,
I think they're the best team. I mean, they're just they're loaded, and they're also situated in a division that, due to where the way the scheduling's been set up, really plays to their benefit because they're not going to play anything but the NL West and the AL West, and the AL West is, you know, it's an okay division. It's better than the AL Central, but it's not the strongest core out there. These are teams the Dodgers should be able to handle. I think it's going to hurt some other teams. I mean, the teams that might be hurt, I think you've got the NL East. It's going to be a logjam. They're going to beat up on each other, and they've got to play at least two and maybe three pretty strong teams in the AL in the interleague with the Yankees, the Yankees, the Rays, and possibly the Blue Jays, who are very young but have a ton of talent. So I think the scheduling dynamics might play into who gets to the promised land as far as the playoffs are concerned.
Talk about, Dave, who you think a surprise team could be. I mean, you talk about young rosters, the Blue Jays, the Tigers, the Marlins. Maybe they benefit from the beginning. They're young. They're strong. And by the way, I got to tell you, I gotta believe the hitters are going to be behind the pitchers to start. Do you agree with that?
Could be, but the problem is that early on, the first week or two, I don't think anybody's going to throw more than 75 pitches. And one thing we've seen over the past couple of years, I mean, it's not as bad as the KBO, but Major League Baseball bullpens are not the most reliable in the world.
Sure. Dave,
I don't know if they qualify as a surprise team or not, but I think the Angels are really set up to do well. I think Joe Maddon's going to be rejuvenated being in their dugout. I think outside the box managing, which is certainly Maddon's specialty, might play into things more than it would over a 162-game schedule. And I think the team's improved themselves. If the starting pitching holds up, and that's always the problem with the Angels because they're just so injury-prone for whatever reason. But if the starting pitching holds up, they're a dangerous-looking team.
Wrapping it up with Smoke and Dave Cook, and follow him on Twitter, at Dave Cook. And Dave, final question for you. I agree, it's hard to pick, not see the Dodgers in the World Series. Who do you believe the American League entrant would be, gun to your head?
That's a tough question. I hope it's not the Astros, because I don't like what they did. It's not
sure.
The Yankees. I'm going to take a shot with the Tampa Bay Rays.
Yeah. All right, buddy. Dave, I appreciate you jumping on with us tonight. I think the biggest takeaway is that you've got to be very cautious and very prudent. It's your money. Don't just throw it around lightly and wait in slowly to see how things develop. Thanks for coming on tonight, Dave.
Good, Bernie. Good to talk to you, man.
Right back at you, buddy. That is Smoke and Dave Cook, and follow him on Twitter at Dave Cokin. Coming up. Well, I have some very strong opinions on what I think the Washington Redskins football team should adopt as their new name, and I'm going to draw from some very rich history from our country, and you're going to want to hear this. But first, hey, well, let's go to the man. Will his updates, will they inspire euphoria? You know, it's kind of like when your waitress refills your drinks even though you never even needed to ask. It's Brian Finley with the latest.
When my waitress does that, I think she's hitting on me, but maybe I'm taking it.
Swipe right, baby.
Yeah, yeah. If only the other side would swipe right when I swept right, maybe I'd actually get a connection. UFC 251 had Fight Island with three title bouts on Saturday. In the headline event, Kamaru Usman disposes of Jorge Masvidal via unanimous decision to retake the welterweight crown. Usman afterwards boasted about it to ESPN.
I'm just a levels better, you know. I have more tools in the toolbox, and when I need to pull them out, I can pull them out and use them.
And that included his unrelenting desire to stomp on Masvidal's feet. Earlier, Alex Volkanovski defending his featherweight championship after swamping Max Holloway by split decision. Piotr Jan defacing Jose Aldo via TKO to get dibs on the bantamweight crown. MLS had a pair of matches on the Fox family of networks. The Columbus Crew body slamming FC Cincinnati 4-0, and the New York Red Bulls stuffing Atlanta United FC 1-0. Justin Thomas has a two-shot lead heading into the final round of the PGA Tour's event at Muirfield. He is at 16 under. The man threw down a 6 under on Saturday and was 13 shots back when he began his Friday round. Back to our guy, Bernie Fratto.
All right, Brian, keep it right there. So the Washington Redskins, it appears that they will be changing their name. Which one do you vote for of the choices that have been bandied out there?
Well, there are a lot out there, and Bernie, I actually created my own, and I was thinking that the Washington Willows, because the team always seems to face plant under pressure, and they puke anytime they get in the playoffs.
That's Brian Finley, if we can just get him to get over the shyness. And I thought you'd throw in a vote for the Washington Socks and Sandals. I'm telling you, who wants to line up with them, right?
I am all for it, and I hope that any first date I go on, I'm wearing those.
Well, I think the team should wear them, too, instead of cleats. Chris Perfett, what are your thoughts? You're a thoughtful guy.
I'm not too big of a fan of all but one of the names that are on this list here. I will say I do enjoy fan culture in the NFL, and the Redskins have always impressed me with their fans, the Hoggettes, who wear dresses and put on hog noses. So I think something like Washington Warthogs has that alliteration and kind of makes a nod to that fan contingent. And you have kind of a military connotation with Warthog as well. I'm all for Washington Warthogs.
Well, I'm quite sure that John Travolta and Gabe Kaplan would vote for that. Google it, people. If you don't know what Welcome Back Carter was, shame on you and know your history. All right, thanks, guys. All right, these are my thoughts. I want to give my 2 cents on this name change, and I'm going to reference a famous group of brave, heroic gentlemen known as the Tuskegee Airmen. Now, when I was in high school, I did a term paper on the Tuskegee Airmen, and look, if a team is going to adopt a name, a nickname, and an organization, you want it to represent your identity in terms of how you perceive and, you know, have competition, right? So the Tuskegee Airmen, they were a group of African-American military pilots in World War II. They were a group of young black cadets. They were put together. And their legacy is one of heroism, all right? As I said, I did a term paper on the Tuskegee Airmen in high school. I've never forgotten it because the story of their successes is very well chronicled. But the part that stuck out in my mind is the fact that many thought they would fail, right? And even when I was young, I was always drawn to people who possessed an undeniable spirit and a real intestinal fortitude that knew what it took to win in spite of all the odds or all the setbacks or all the circumstances. That was the Tuskegee Airmen. I was very much bothered by the fact in my research that I was presumed that these men would not succeed, and for all the wrong reasons. They had a leader, a famous leader named Colonel Benjamin Davis. He was the driving force behind the greatness of the Tuskegee Airmen. He was of the highest moral fiber, and he had an unparalleled ability to temper himself and maintain his composure no matter how difficult things got during World War II. And that resonated among his troops. He was a real disciplinarian, but the people who served under him knew they were lucky to have him in their lead in that time in history. So they became a unit. The Tuskegee Airmen became a unit that trained harder than anybody else, prepared better than anybody else, and it showed up in their efficiency. And they were all about their duty. On April 1st, 1943, Colonel Davis, he was given his marching orders to lead the Tuskegee Airmen into combat, and they embarked on a troop transport in mid-April. They crossed the Atlantic and on a famous warship called Mariposa, and they docked in Morocco, all right, in a little town called Casablanca. You may have heard of it. There's a movie about it. They settled in, and the first thing the aviators did was begin checking out their planes. Back then, they flew a plane called a P-40L, and it was not a great plane. And the truth of the matter is, the P-40 planes that the Tuskegee Airmen flew were not equal to the German Messerschmitt 109s. That's a fact. The enemies had superior equipment. That didn't matter to the Tuskegee Airmen, who became a huge group of heroes. The rest is history. They became a distinguished group winning multiple awards, which I can't even pronounce, the Silver Star Award, the Legion of Merit, the Oak Leaf Cluster, the Air Medal, and a bunch of Distinguished Service Medals. And these gentlemen, they made history. And because of their strike command and because of their ability to assist the United States in winning the war, when the odds were against them and they had inferior equipment, the Tuskegee Airmen and their nickname in a movie that was made in their honor a few years ago called The Red Tails rolls off the tongue quite nicely. So if you want to create a name in Washington that they can be proud of, that represents an organization and is focused on an identity of, you know, significant competition and a true achievement in our country's history, change their name to the Washington Red Tails. You kill about three birds with one stone, and don't tell me that doesn't roll off the tongue nicely. The Washington Red Tails. Look, my message here is quite simple. In every walk of life, there's a select elite few who rise above the rest. They transcend their peers, they set a standard, and they contribute to the lives of others that words simply can't describe. I recommend anybody listening to this, Google the Tuskegee Airmen. Google what they did for this country at a time in the 40s that were much different. And they came back heroes. Here's an opportunity to honor them and their remembrance. The Washington Red Tails rolls off the tongue quite nicely. That is my two cents. Coming up, we're going to talk about the fact that even though we're in odd times, and we know we are, that the growth of legalized sports betting across the country continues to be phenomenal. And I'm going to bring you up to date on the various schedules on the other sports in addition to Major League Baseball, which I talked about, and what the status is and what you can look forward to between now and all the way to June of 2021, as long as there aren't any more, you know, terrible surprises. What does it mean when Geico says just 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance? It means you probably should have gone to geico.com 15 minutes ago. I'm Bernie Frano, coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios, and this is the pregame show you always wanted. So don't go away. You're listening to Straight Outta Vegas.
Straight Outta Vegas!
One of the best in the business, Bernie Frano.
We are back on Straight Outta Vegas, the pregame show you always wanted. I'm Bernie Frano, coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios. Before I go any further, I want to thank my broadcast team back in Los Angeles, turning all the dials, keeping us glued together, doing a fine job. That would be Chris Perfett, Eric Roberts, and Brian Finley, and of course my on-site technical producer as well, Matt Christensen. All right, before I get into an update on the legalized sports betting growth and a quick roll call on the various other sports and their upcoming schedules as they try to navigate COVID-19, I want to say one last thing about baseball, because the talk, you're going to hear the term asterisk a lot. And you're going to hear it for several reasons. First of all, most people can't pronounce it. I hear one guy call it an asterisk, one guy call it an asterisk. Forget it. It's asterisk. Okay, asterisk. There shouldn't be one. And I'm going to tell you why, because every one of the Major League Baseball teams is in the same boat, all right? No real home field advantage, no fans in the stands. You've got to really jimmy-rig your rosters quickly and decide which 30 you're going to suit up and the player pool, and you've got to decide your rotations and your pitching. Everybody's in the same boat. This is not going to be easy. Everybody plays the same number of games. An asterisk is when Roger Maris hits 61 home runs and breaks Babe Ruth's record, and he does it in 162 games, and Babe Ruth did it in 154 games when he hits 60 home runs. That is not to besmirch or downgrade Roger Maris's accomplishments. It's merely to draw a parallel and a distinction that when one player did it, he had 8 more games. That's all. They're all playing the same number of games this year, barring rainouts or things I can't predict or see. But for the most part, it's a level playing field, as best as it can be, pun intended. So yeah, if your team wins, you're going to say, no, there's no asterisk. But of course, everybody who doesn't win will say, well, there's an asterisk. Well, that's sour grapes. So you got my 2 cents on that. All right, look, one of the things we like to do periodically is update the growth of the nation's legalized sports betting across the country. Remember, in May of 18, there was a landmark decision by the United States Supreme Court to overturn PASPA, which was the Professional Amateur Sports Protection Act of 1992, and that was a federal statute restricted regulated sports betting only to Nevada, right? Because. Well, the new legal sports betting market has completely exceeded any stakeholders' expectations, and it's completely, that's the Department of Redundancy Department, I said completely twice, dramatically altered the relationship between sports leagues and the gambling industry. And we're going to continue to cover this. But to give you some perspective, 18 states, which represents over 30% of the U.S. population, now have regulated sports betting markets. And there are several more on deck. The District of Columbia. I want to read these states off because you might be living in one of these states. North Carolina, Tennessee, Washington, Virginia. They've all passed legislation. And 16 additional states have active sports betting bills, according to the American Gaming Association. Now, in the coming years, industry authorities expect more than half the states in the United States to offer legal sports betting. But in just over 2 years, there's already been $20 billion has been bet with U.S. sports books since the PASPA Act was overturned in May of 18. By the way, 12 states, and this is the future, have approved full-scale online sports betting, including Tennessee and Virginia, which will offer, frankly, online wagering only. And of the $4.5 billion bet in New Jersey, by the way, they've been way ahead of the game, of the $4.5 billion bet so far with New Jersey sports books since 2019, 84% of it was placed online. So I think you've got a situation where this is not only here to stay, it's only going to continue to grow. Now, legislatures, when they return to their full-time jobs, we believe, or the people I've talked to believe, that the number of states ready to consider accelerating mobile sports betting and online gaming legislation to drive tax revenue, that they believe that's going to grow exponentially. So you've got, you know, the NFL, Major League Baseball, the PGA Tour, they're all members of the NCPG, which is the National Council on Problem Gambling. So they're out ahead of that as well. The moral of the story is, across the country, you are able to bet legally. It doesn't always have to be in brick-and-mortar outlets. There's going to be opportunities for you to get apps on your phone, online, et cetera. We're going to continue to follow it. And when these sports return, and let's just keep our fingers crossed. Look, I don't know what the future holds. Because, you know, could something unforeseen curtail these seasons and cause them to be canceled or cause them to, you know, be shut down early like they were in March? I don't know, maybe. But let's keep our fingers crossed. And I want to start, by the way, with the NHL because they seem to be out ahead of the game. They've got their focus now. They've got two Canadian hub cities, and it's confirmed they're going to be Toronto and Edmonton. The games are going to start August 1st. And there'll be a series of play-in games, but it looks like the Final Four and the Stanley Cup Finals will be held in Edmonton. Here's what's interesting. The NHL, they've even agreed on a new CBA, 4 years of labor peace. And after Game 7 of the Stanley Cup NHL Finals, which the latest that could be would be October 2nd, okay, they're ready to start their new season December 1st. That's 7.5 weeks later. That would be like Major League Baseball ending its World Series in October and starting up again, you know, around Christmas. Good for them. You know what's going to be fun? The NFL. Let's talk about them quickly. It looks like they've shortened their preseason to 2 games. I think they need those 2 games, and I'll tell you why. When I worked for the Lions, I was told that you need preseason games to, A, evaluate position battles in a live situation, and, two, and B, to gauge your draft progress for your highest draft choices. The NBA, you know about them. Adam Silver, they're pretty confident. July 30th, it kicks off, tips off. Lakers, Clippers, and are off and running. We've talked about baseball. All right, NCAA football. We're gonna talk a lot about this next Saturday, and I'm gonna have a guest on from the Pac-12 who just announced, by the way, that they'll have they'll only have conference games, and so will the Big Ten. Will the ACC, the SEC follow suit? I don't know. The Ivy League has said they're going to the spring. By the way, the summer games in Tokyo, they've been postponed. July 23rd, 2021. Mark your calendars. And let's hope they have that as well. We're going to continue to keep you updated on all of these events. All right, that's going to do it for this week's edition of Straight Outta Vegas. I'm Bernie Fratto. Keep it locked. Next up, the man from Nashville who brings it strong. It's time for the Jason Martin Show.
Straight Outta Vegas!